reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 3, 1-9. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready yet for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Bless you, Randy, as you bring the message.
Thank you, Shelby, for reading scripture. Thanks so much, Shane, for leading us in worship, and Madeline, Sean, Shelby again. That was wonderful. Love the harmonica. It's beautiful. Well, we are in a theme this year in 2017 of thinking about spiritual growth, of thinking about spiritual formation, and the habits and practices that we engage in that help to form us into the likeness of Christ. Why are we emphasizing spiritual growth? Well, for one, it is something that came out of the elder team as we were talking together. And Whitmer Heights is a community that I think is really growing in looking outward and in service and into being a part of what God's doing in this world. But I think what the elder team is looking at is that as we are looking outward into our community, it's really important that we continue to emphasize our own spiritual growth, our own relationship with God. That's the source that's going to allow us to look outward in a healthy way. If we can't start with our own spiritual growth and our own understanding again of who God is and the character of God and God's deep, everlasting love, if we can't continue to emphasize that, it's going to be impossible to look outward in any kind of healthy way. We talk a lot about growth. In fact, right here at Whitmer Heights, we have a grow team. Who knows what the vision or mission of the grow team is? This is what Whitmer Heights has said the Grow Team does. To plan and implement growth and outreach of the congregation. But I think it's important to say here that this is not just looking into the outward growth, but it's also really thinking about our own spiritual growth. I think that's one of the reasons why the Christian education is under the Grow Team. Because Christian education is a significant part of emphasizing our own spiritual growth with God and with one another. All of us are growing in some kind of way. We have some babies in our congregation, like Ezra and Milo, and Karas is pretty young. And they are growing at an incredible rate in proportion to us, to me. There is new life happening in all of us as we are growing. If you look outside, we're in the middle of winter time right now, but even in the trees and in the plants that seem to be lifeless in winter, there is an incredible amount of growth still happening that we can't see. There is an incredible amount of preparing for the spring growth that will be happening. we are made in the image of God, and God has created us in such a way that we grow. We do not just stay the same person, biologically and spiritually. It's incredible. And the other thing about growth that's so incredible in nature that we can learn from, I think, is I'm amazed in agriculture when I see intentional burnings, when they are actually burn a field. Why do they do that? Shane would know a lot more about this than me, but I think as you burn it down, that allows for all of the new growth to happen in that field. But they have to, and even like in like a wildfire in the forest, sometimes those aren't the worst things in the world, because as all of that brush and stuff that provided shade is burnt up, it allows all this new life to come, and the forest takes on a whole new kind of life, a whole new kind of growth that never could have happened if that fire hadn't happened first. And so something, one of the incredible things about growth is that sometimes it involves getting rid of some things or cutting some things out in order for new things to happen. And so as we're thinking about growth and spiritual growth in 2017, I would encourage you to be thinking about maybe some of the things that need to be removed or reshaped in order for new things to happen as well. I was amazed at the text this morning for the lectionary. I was thinking about spiritual growth, and it just happened to be that one of the texts in the lectionary is 1 Corinthians 3:1-9, which is all about growth and God being the one that brings the life, that brings the growth. And then the other text that is one of my favorites is from Deuteronomy 30:15-20, which is when God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you may live. Choose life. And as I think about these two texts together this morning, it's just such a beautiful word from God. A beautiful encouragement for us this morning to remember, A, that God is the one bringing growth. It is God who brings the growth in us. And then right beside that, this reminder to choose life. To choose life. So let's start with this Corinthians text. The Corinthians need growth. The church in Corinth needs growth, according to Paul. Paul says this, you need to move from your fleshly being to your spiritual being. Another way to put that might be, and if you read Paul, if you look at many of the letters that he's written, a theme that comes through in Paul is this idea of new creation. New creation. That meaning that part of what being a follower of Jesus is about, part of what it means to be a part of the resurrection, to die to ourselves and to be risen into a new person, is new creation. If we think about the text in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about being people of reconciliation. And it says, you are a new creation. And so I think as we look at this text in 1 Corinthians and we see what God is doing, and Paul is saying you need to move from your fleshly being to your spiritual being. Basically, he's saying you need to be living in a way that shows new creation, the new thing that God is doing in you. Basically, this is what flesh means for Paul. It doesn't mean that the body is bad or that in some way our flesh itself is sin. But I think more of the definition here is fleshly is if we would act as if we never knew God or God's Holy Spirit was not in us. So they're acting as though Christ has not changed any part of who they are. They are acting as if they are just simply being human. And how specifically were they doing that in this text? What Paul says, You're arguing over allegiance to various apostles. Essentially, it's like saying today, I'm more spiritual because I attend this congregation which has this pastor and this bishop and this denomination. So that makes me more, that makes me higher than you. Or another way to put it might be to say, I am more spiritual because I'm a part of this group. Which for Paul is saying, you've completely missed it. You're not spiritual at all, he says, because your behavior is being determined by competition for status, for the expected pursuits of society, rather than by the gospel. You're not to be arguing about who is the best apostle, and in that, arguing about wealth and power. So Paul reframes all of it and says, this growth has nothing to do with the leader that you have or the kind of status that you think you have, but it's, you've forgotten God. You've forgotten that God is the one who brings the growth. God is the one doing the new thing, not me. I'm just a servant of this God. And so there's this emphasis on God. It's simple, but it's beautiful. One of the first things to emphasize in spiritual growth is to emphasize God again. And sometimes we made church so much about us and our own need to do more and to be better, to be more spiritual, that has become this kind of competition, or it's about what I can do better, which completely, if we're not careful, can make us God, ironically, that we can save ourselves. And Paul is reminding the church in Corinth here is that it's not about you, it's about God and God's glory being made known in you. And one of the ways this is really stressed for, in this letter, and it's it has everything to do with the verb tense. So if you take Greek or English and anything, you learn all about verb tenses. And I was never particularly good in with vocabulary. But when you realize this significant verb tense that Paul uses here, it's pretty remarkable and pretty cool. So the verb tense that he uses for the apostles' work is a past tense, aorist, meaning we had done this. Okay, but it's over now. But the tense that they use when they talk about God working and God bringing growth is called an imperfect tense. And basically what imperfect tense means is that it's continuing. It's not just once and done. It's this stress of God's ongoing, continual action to bring new life, to bring new growth. See, salvation history is not just history that has been done for us. Yes, that is true. But salvation is this ongoing work of new life. And this imperfect tense captures that ongoing work. God has been at work all along in Israel and now in the New Testament, in the church, in Acts, and in Corinth. And God's continuing to be at work to bring growth, new life, transformation, new creation. God is always doing something new. Paul is saying this, if the work we are engaged in is built on some conviction other than what God is doing first in us, it's not built on the right foundation. If it's built on thinking that I can somehow do this myself, it's not built on the right foundation. We need to be open to what God is doing in our hearts. It does take emphasis on our action, but it's not in a sense that I can do it myself. It starts with God. So this month, we're having this emphasis on getting into the Word, getting into Scripture. It could be easy to think that this is a competition about who can do the most. But if that was the case, then we would be completely missing the point here that exactly Paul is trying to make, is that it's not about your sense of, I did the most, I read the most scripture. That's not the goal here at all. But just like Paul is saying, this is about what God is doing through you, we're also trying to say, as we get into the Word more, as we engage Scripture more, we provide more space for God's growth to happen in us. When we go back to Scripture, we go back to God. When we go back to God, we go back to life. And so now I want to quickly look at this Deuteronomy text very quickly. And God is saying, choose life. And the most simplest way to put it that God is asking Israel to choose life is to say, don't forget that I'm your king first and foremost. See, it's important to remember that God's will for Israel was originally to never have a king. God, Yahweh, wanted to be their king. And oftentimes when Israel went off track, when they forgot God, was because they wanted so bad to have a king in their own nation state that in that they forgot that God was their king. And so when God is saying, I set before you today life and death, blessings and curses, choose life, it's basically saying, first and foremost, choose to remember me and what I have done for you. Choose to remember that I am your king. Choose to remember that I love you. That is the very character of who I am. Choose life today. What might choosing life look like us for us today? And what might choosing to let God do growth look like for us today? The first thing I think it can look like is to remember the character of God. And we can do a sermon series on the character of God. I love the song this morning, The Everlasting God. And in that term, the everlasting God, this sense of everlasting love. And it's so easy to forget that, because I think part of the shame that we feel is in our humanity is to think we're not worthy of love. And yet, to be reminded of the character of God is to be reminded that we are created in the image of God. And if we're created in the image of God, how much does God love us? That's a place to open us up to spiritual growth. We are growing in the love of Christ, okay? Another place to think about growth is to know that I am enough. I don't need to be more than what God is trying to do in me or through me, because I'm never going to be enough. I am enough for right now, for what God is doing. And to trust in that and to receive that you're doing enough. It might mean growth in having patience in the midst of a difficult situation. It might mean growth in becoming a little bit more vulnerable in the people we're engaging with. This week, our church is doing the Women's Winter Shelter. John and Catherine Landis, 88, stayed overnight. Man, that's beautiful. That's a place there of encouragement for all of us, of taking that risk into vulnerability, even at 88 years old. And this is about mutual transformation. I think that's really important to name. This is not us going in there and saving them at all. This is about being open to the Spirit's leading. And in these relationships, we see where Christ is showing up in some of the people who have been most forgotten. But this spiritual growth might be in shaping us to be people that are willing to take the risk into vulnerability. Maybe this is a growth in learning how to love more authentically. Maybe we're learning how to love our enemies. I don't know if you saw this past week on the news. I was intrigued by a church in Lancaster that, I don't even remember the name of it right now, but they're actually giving lessons and training of self-defense. If someone would come into their church, they want to have training on self-defense in order to how to defend themselves. And I thought that was very intriguing. The church is a place of training. The church is a place of learning. We are a school, essentially, where we're learning. Except I would argue that if we're followers of Jesus and we're learning how to be faithful to Jesus, we're learning how to love each other better, even our enemies. And so I would say, as they're getting training on self-defense, let's get training on how to love our enemies better. Let's reach out to that congregation in Lancaster, and instead of being critical to why they're doing that, let's say, I want to learn more about your church history. I want to learn more about why this is important to you. Let's build a relationship with that congregation. And then as we're doing that, we can say, well, we're trying to get training as well. We're trying to learn here as well. We're trying to learn how to love one another. We can build a bridge there, maybe. I'm speaking to myself. I was very critical when I first heard that, and I'm realizing I need to build a bridge there. Maybe you're being the growth is being shaped into a person who's learning to be more reflective rather than more reactive. Growth can happen in many ways. But the important thing here, I think, from the text in 1 Corinthians is to remember that God is the one doing the growth. Okay, maybe sometimes we're not sure what God's going to do in us. It's a little vulnerable. To open ourselves up to God's growth means we're opening ourselves up to not sure how He's going to shape us or move us or extend us into other relationships that we didn't expect. So this week is a small encouragement. And beyond this week, but especially this week, as you are exercising, as you are at work, as you start your day or as you say goodnight, as you eat a meal or as you rest in silence, pray this. God, You are doing a new thing in me. Help me to be open to the growth that You're doing in my life. See, we can invite the Holy Spirit to bring new things into us, new growth, new creation. The practice of reading Scripture is one practice that we can do to allow more growth to happen from God. As we engage in Scripture, we encounter an alternative narrative, a different kind of story about who we are to be and who God is, a new creation. And it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that new creation in us. I'm really excited to hear the scripture verses that God has been putting into your hearts, and during sharing time, to give that space again, to hear from one another. What is the new thing that God is showing you as you're engaged in scripture? I'd like to close from a prayer that Daryl and Cheryl Hostetter shared with Emily and I at our wedding. Daryl actually preached here a few months ago. So let's pray this prayer. Forgive us, God, when we live our lives within the lines, when we say, this is the shape of our work, this is the boundary of our habitation, these are the limits to our love, these are the lines of our vision, these and none other. Draw us beyond our patterns into Yours, O God. Shifting, moving, curving, spiraling, many-colored, ever-changing, stretching, pushing, challenging, renaming, unsettling, disturbing, casting forth, and welcoming home. Amen. May this week, Whitmer Heights, be a week of that unsettling, and yet in the unsettling, knowing that there's new growth happening. God is doing a new creation. God is saying, choose life. God is saying, I am doing a new thing. Amen.